Bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. We'll be back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this evening. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. And we're going to read those same verses again and try to get this thing finished up if the Lord allows. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, there was, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. The sufficiency of God's grace. Let's bow our hearts and our heads this evening and ask the Lord for help. Father, as we come to you once again today, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for being a good God. Father, thank you for that unseen hand that you uphold us with, that you hold us with.
Yes, thank you.
God, we thank you so much for your guidance in our lives. We thank you for the grace that you've bestowed upon us in immeasurable amounts. And Father, tonight I pray you'd help me to communicate well the thoughts you put on my heart. Father, I pray that you'd help us to set aside the distractions and focus our hearts and our minds in on what your Spirit has for us tonight. And God, I pray that with the truth that is delivered, that we would allow you to conform us more into the image of thy dear Son. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated this evening. The sufficiency of God's grace. I want to just back up and give a little bit of groundwork. I'm not going to obviously re-preach this morning, but we only got through point one, and so we're hoping to get through points two and three tonight. But this morning we looked at the sufficiency of God's grace and the fact that God gives us grace. There's grace, there's saving grace, there's sanctifying grace, there's serving grace, there's grace to see us through. There's grace that the Bible says that we're called to grace, we're called by grace. The Bible teaches us that we need grace to give. We need grace to go. The Bible also teaches us, we touched on this morning, that we can frustrate God's grace. And so grace is an amazing thing that God has bestowed upon us. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men.
Amen.
You know, that question of, you know, well, when will all the world know? Can I tell you, I believe in the imminent rapture of the saints. I believe any moment the Lord could come back, because I believe the gospel has appeared to the world. If you look at Acts in chapter 2 and chapter 3 there, on the day of Pentecost, there were people from every kindred and every tongue, it says.
Right.
You know, the gospel appeared unto the entire world on that one day.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And then Titus tells us the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men.
Right.
There's nothing left.
Yep.
I don't know as there's that one lost soul waiting, God's just waiting for that one last soul to be won. I don't know as I buy into all of that. I believe that it's already been done. The work's complete. We need to keep doing what we're doing and not change a thing.
Right.
But I believe that the rapture, that his return could be at any moment.
Amen.
Well, God's grace.
Amen.
But what we focused on is what does it look like when we are living in the sufficiency of his grace, saying, okay, just as God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, what does that look like in my life? And we looked this morning primarily at proper humility. That it's a humbling thing, and true humility is absence of self. It's not about me, it's not about my life, it's not about my ministry, it's not about my family, my income, it's nothing to do with me, it's all about God, it's all about Him, it's all about God's glory and God receiving glory from my life. And we understand that a sovereign God allows these things. We talked about that this in verse seven that there was a gift, if you will, presented to Paul by God, and it was this thorn in the flesh was given to him. It wasn't some accident. It wasn't oops. We've got a friend down in Tennessee. He's a church planner. He's got Parkinson's. He's in his early 70s now. And when he had just kind of got the church established, the church was about 7 or 8 years old. I think this was like 11 years ago, 7 or 8 years old. And the church is just getting grounded. Everything seems to be going pretty well. And he's just serving the Lord with all his life. He got into a head-on collision with a logging truck, and he was driving a minivan. Not much of a crumple zone in a Dodge Caravan. That sent him down an embankment that had he gone all the way down, he would have died. They had to use the jaws of life to extract him. That'll set back a church plant. That'll set back your ministry a little while. That was a gift from God. Oh, the devil's fighting. The devil's tools are there, but remember, the devil couldn't touch Job without God's permission. God's still in charge. And that was a gift from God in his life. And I promise you, he didn't think that way at the time, and none of his family thought that way at the time. They were begging God for help. Don't let this happen. What is going on? But listen, he understands and looks back now. The unseen hand of God was guiding him and is still guiding him all the way through these valleys and these difficulties. It's given by God. That's a present for us. Amen. It protects us from being exalted, lest I should be exalted. And it's not just us looking at ourselves, but it's others looking at us. And we talked about how we like the position of the being exalted, and we won't get into that. We spoke of the powerful adversary that we have. Listen, there is a devil out there, and he does want to stop us. And that's why when God allows things to happen, sometimes they're pretty bad. Because the devil doesn't want to just slow you down. The devil doesn't want to just hurt you. The devil wants to destroy you. He's playing for keeps. It's not just some casual thing with him. No. He wants to destroy families, destroy marriages, destroy churches, destroy preachers, destroy children. He wants to destroy lives. He's the destroyer. I'm glad you brought it up. Which, by the way, parents, it's very important you teach your children this. The worst sin anyone can ever commit on this planet is a lie. There's a lot of bad things out there, is there not?
Yes, sir.
But when God incarnate, Jesus Christ, chose a word to identify Satan, he didn't say he's the father of murderers.
No.
He didn't say he's the father of robbers and thieves.
Right.
He said he's the father of lies.
Yep.
Every one of those other sins and other junk out there, it all stems from and begins with lying.
Yes.
Just a little side note. Thought I'd throw that in. No extra charge. Amen.
That's right.
We taught our girls the worst thing you can do in this world is tell a lie.
Yep.
There's nothing more abominable, more wicked than telling a lie. And kids get used to telling lies. They become adults that get used to telling lies.
Yep.
They become wives and husbands that get used to telling lies. Anyways, we have a powerful adversary. Then we began this morning as we concluded, and this is where I'll pick up this evening in verse 9, about personal surrender. Personal surrender. It says in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is about personal surrender. Personal surrender. I don't know who it was, but just yesterday, one of the men, it could have been this morning, but I overheard one of the men talking about how success looks completely different today than it did in the past.
Right. Yep.
The problem is we've never had the proper view of success.
Right.
Success looks like everybody abandoning you, being lied about, being wrongfully beaten, having your beard plucked out, having a crown of thorns plaited on your head, and being hung on a cross. as though you were a failure before man's eyes while they mock you.
Right.
That's what success looks like.
Yes, sir.
Does that look like success in your life?
Right.
See, we've got our ideas of what success is.
Yep.
The Bible has a complete different idea of what success is.
Yep.
When Jesus was hanging on the cross, that was success.
Amen.
That's victory. That's what it's all about. No. We want the comfort. We want the ease. We don't care if there's some battles. We'll get through some battles as long as God helps us, as long as there's that goal, that achievement, that level. Listen, over and over, we come back to that unseen hand and the power of the God's grace on our lives. When Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he said, I know you're praying for me. This is the Perkins version of it, okay? But he said, I know you're praying for me to get out of this Roman jail cell, and I'll tell you right now, God's going to let me out whether I walk out the door or go through the ceiling.
Right. Amen.
And either way, your prayer is going to be answered. I'm getting out.
Right. Amen.
And we know what Paul's wish was. He wished he'd just go through the ceiling and God would just take him out.
Right.
And he'd get to go to heaven and be with our Lord and see him face to face and no longer have to wonder about faith in these things, but his faith would become sight. But God said, no, I want you to go out through the door and you got more work for me to do. Friend, I'm telling you today, we don't understand success. We don't understand the victory like the Bible wants the saint to understand what victory and success is all about. It takes personal surrender, just as Jesus surrendered in the garden in Gethsemane. But I get ahead of myself. We see that personal surrender is a provision of faith. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me? This is a provision of faith. This is an action and activity of faith. This is when God told Paul, my grace is sufficient.
Yep.
I know we give Gideon a hard time, but I'm just going to do it tonight, so forgive me. But Paul didn't say, well, Lord, can I put a fleece out about this? Now, I know you're saying your grace is sufficient. God didn't say, hey, Paul, my grace will be sufficient. He didn't say, Paul, my grace was sufficient. No, he said it is.
Right.
And Paul took that two-letter word, is, and said, that's it. That's all I need. I got it. It's done. Okay.
Right.
What is that? That is faith. That is taking God at His Word. That is trusting the One that loves us. That is hearing and seeing, understanding the revelation of God to us and taking it and saying, this is what I can live by. I'm going to live by faith. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
It's not by sight, folks.
Right.
There's too many of us want to live by sight.
Yep.
I'm not picking on Dave Ramsey, but Dave Ramsey's keys, there are a lot of good things. Please don't misunderstand me. But when I punch all of my income and everything into his little thing, they laugh at me and say, get a better job.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Okay. I just, how do you do that? Amen. Listen, it's living by faith. I shared with some of you earlier, I'll just go ahead and confess now, I'm a Yankee. Okay.
It's the
thorn in the flesh. You can't help where you were born, amen? My dad was planting churches. We were following. Anyways, listen. Our last year in the state of Maine was 2007. And that year in 2007, just to give you some ideas, in 2007, we were living in a house. Our mortgage payment was almost $1,000 a month. From October to February, if you want to keep your wool socks on in the house and wear a good sweater and a couple layers inside, you're going to pay $400 a month for home heating oil through those months. That doesn't count your electric bill. Okay? So there's $1,400 a month right there through the winter months, but $1,000 a month. And then we had four children. You've got to feed them. You've got the vehicles. Okay. You get the idea. My income that year was just under $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody done the math yet?
Yeah.
Gee, we still tithed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We still gave to Faith Promise Missions.
Amen.
In fact, that year we increased our Faith Promise
Amen.
Missions given. Amen.
Amen.
And we didn't miss a meal.
Amen.
And we didn't miss a bill.
Right.
And God took care of it all.
Amen.
I wasn't in full-time ministry. I was working odd jobs. I was trying to provide for my family. What am I saying? I'm saying we chose to live by faith.
Right.
We made a decision based on our convictions and the Word of God. And we said, we're going to follow what God has laid out and revealed to us in His Word. And we're making this choice and we're not going back. I'm going to choose to live by faith.
Amen.
Because the just shall live by faith. And if we are going to live in the sufficiency of His grace, and we're going to live that surrender, that with that personal surrender day by day, not just a one time, well, I came to the altar and surrendered my life, but it's a day by day by day. Every time the bills come in, and every time the paycheck comes home, and every time you're going out to the grocery store, it's choosing to surrender. And you see the person the Holy Spirit says witness to, and you choose to surrender. I'm telling you, that is all the provision of faith.
Amen.
It's got to be by faith. The just shall live by faith. Can I tell you, faith is not the lucky charm in the pocket that we hang on to that gets us through. Faith is the vehicle that we ride in that navigates us through life. That's what faith is. Faith is how I'm choosing to live my life for God. The decisions that I make. Listen, it's not accidental.
Right.
It's got to be on purpose. Amen. Right. It's a personal decision. That choice to surrender, to step out, to live by faith, to please God with our lives. I've got to move on quickly or we're never going to get through this tonight. Amen. I got to go. Listen, what else does he say? He says, God says to Paul here in verse 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah.
Don't we love weakness? When Christy and I and the girls started traveling in 2008, trying to get meetings, trying to find preachers, trying to help these guys, trying to do the work. We were new at it. We didn't understand so much about it. And I have a different attitude than most. I'll just tell you this. We never did a deputation. I never went out and just set a time aside to raise funds. And my attitude was, we're in the will of God. We're fully supported. I'm 100% supported because God meets our needs. I don't know how else to do it. I don't know another way. That's just me. And we started traveling and boy, when I was younger, 18 years ago, and we were starting all this out, I'm going to conquer the world. I see this. I got this burning desire in my heart, and here we go. And you don't think about weakness.
Right.
You don't think about, the key to this is weakness. No, you think strength and being strong in the Lord and all of these things. And all of a sudden, my wife would start asking me, well, how are we going to pay this bill? And my answer was, I don't know. And then she'd ask, well, where are we going to be next week? And my answer would be, I don't know. And then she'd start asking, well, what are we going to do about this? And my answer would be, I don't know. And it started making me feel really weak as a man. And I didn't like giving, I don't know, was the leader of my home. I don't know where the groceries are going to come from. I don't know where the kids are going to lay their heads down to sleep. I don't know where it's going to be. But I'm telling you right now, God was giving me this gift and teaching me that His strength is made perfect in weakness. And when we are weak, then He is strong. And I can't live in His power unless I choose to embrace the weakness that is me. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus Christ is the God-man.
Yes, sir.
The God is infinite. The God is omniscient. God is the only true wise God.
Right.
The man is weak.
That's right.
Without the weakness of a man, his power, his strength is not made perfect.
Yep.
At Calvary, there's no dying on the cross without the man.
Right.
You've got to have the weakness for the strength to be seen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When our old man dies and we live unto him and they see that new man in us, the strength, we all want power.
Yes,
We all understand power. I'm not saying prestige. I'm not saying everybody wants fame. But whether we're aging in our bodies and we want more health in our bodies, or whether we're financially low and we want more finances, you can look through all humans of all ages, all categories, every walk of life, and to one degree or another, we all want more power. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:11. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's His power, not mine. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. God says, oh good, you finally got to the end of yourself. Now watch what I can do. But it doesn't happen if we never get to the end of ourselves. And the devil just says, keep hanging on, you can do this. Keep hanging on, you don't need that, you can do this. Don't. We're weak. If we could just accept that we're weak.
Amen.
Oh, but I got an education. But I got experience. I've got this. I've got that. No one's taking any of that away, but stop making a horizontal comparison and comparing yourself to your spouse, to your kids, to others, to your peers. Compare yourself to God.
Right.
Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. We are nothing without Him.
Amen.
And His strength is made perfect in weakness. We don't like the idea of weakness. We run from weakness. We want to be strong. We do everything we can. We take our vitamins. We lift our weights. We walk our miles. We drink our shakes. We do all. We want strength. We want power. We want strength. And God says, I'm just waiting for you to get weak.
Amen.
You know, they used to call the Lord's brother, His brother Jude, they used to call him, you read church history, they used to call him Old Camel Knees. Because he spends so many hours on his knees.
Amen.
I wonder why. Maybe because he understood he was weak.
Yes.
Maybe he understood he needed God.
Right.
He needed Him in his life. He wasn't going to make it without Him. You see, perfection through or perfection through the weakness, strength through the weakness. He says, therefore, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And He says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities. That's the power of Christ on our lives. See, when we choose to personally surrender, we've humbled ourselves and we say, okay, by faith, I'm going to step out and I'm going to accept I'm weak. I can't do anything without God. Now I need to go forward with God. Now what do I do? Now I need the power of Christ on my life.
Amen.
What does that look like? Can you believe this? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Glory in infirmities? Really? We don't glory in our infirmities. Ask my wife, I whine about them. She's like, he's the worst sick person in the world. I said, because it takes a lot to stop me, and when it does, it hurts. But he says what? Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. He doesn't just end with that. He talks about in necessities. Listen, most gladly. He's already prepared for it. Now listen, I don't believe the Apostle Paul was a pessimist by any stretch of the imagination. So please don't misunderstand this, dear pessimist. Amen. I think every Christian ought to have the same blood type. Be positive. Amen. There's enough pessimists out there that needs to die.
Amen.
But watch this. The Apostle Paul knew, I've got an adversary. He's going to be attacking.
Yep.
There are going to be infirmities. There are going to be stripes. There is going to be imprisonments. There are going to be there are going to be these things. It didn't catch him off guard. How often does it catch us off guard?
Right.
Oh, I didn't expect this to happen.
Yep.
I understand we don't know the future, but don't you know if you're trying to live for the Lord, the devil's going to be fighting against you.
Right.
Huh? Listen, our soldiers over there, whatever war they fought in, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, listen, they don't sit over there and go, oh wow, they're firing at us. Huh?
No.
No, they expect it.
Right.
They don't leave without all the armor on. They don't leave without their weapon, without being prepared. Why? They're expecting attack any moment and every moment.
Right.
That's, if you talk to people, that's part of the PTSD. You're always on guard.
Yep.
Except for us Christians in spiritual warfare. We're like, oops, I didn't expect that one. Why not? Why not? Why are you so surprised you got a flat tire? Don't you know the Lord wanted to give you a gift? Why are you so surprised your car broke down? Huh? Don't you realize you drive a Dodge? I mean, I'm meddling now. But seriously, we shouldn't be surprised at these things.
Right.
We should realize we're in a battle. And most gladly, therefore, will I glory. And look at the list he goes down through here in verse 9. He says, in infirmities, that the power therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. He glories in it. Boy, this is what we hear prayer requests for every Wednesday night. Is it not?
Yep.
Every Wednesday night, all through the prayer chain, all the different prayer, it's all related to these things. Well, what's going on? Why aren't we glorying in them?
Yep.
Sure, pray for them, but praise the Lord, He counted you worthy. Remember when the apostles were beaten for preaching the gospel? They came out of the jail praising God and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be beaten for the name of Christ. Why don't we go praise God? He counts me like Job. He counts me faithful. He's given me this infirmity. I can't wait to see what He's going to do in my life.
Amen.
That's not our attitude, and there's a problem. That should be our attitude. It should be our heart. Why? Because that's living, saying God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the doctor says, what the bank account says. It doesn't matter what's going on. His grace is always sufficient.
Yep.
And that brings us to our final thought, and that is the pattern to follow. In verse 10, He's given us a pattern to follow. And in verse 10, we see the apostle, as I just read, therefore will I take pleasure. He goes through the list. He says, for Christ's sake. Now let me keep in mind, let me just point out right there, that term is very important.
Yes, it is.
When I receive these things, when I'm beaten for preaching Christ, that's worth glorying.
Right.
When I'm beaten because I'm being ignorant toward a police officer and provoked him to beat me,
right,
that's stupidity. There's nothing to glory in that.
That's
when it's a self-imposed problem,
yep,
when I took my tithe and bought a TV with it,
yep,
and then my car broke down, I'm not going to glory in that necessity.
Right.
Why? Well, because I disobeyed God and stepped out of His grace,
yep,
and started living by sight and not by faith.
Yep.
So I chose not to use the sufficiency of His grace. I said, no, I want to watch the Super Bowl, so I'm buying a TV. I'll tithe later. And God said, you wish you had a radiator. I didn't know there was anything wrong with it. There wasn't until you did the wrong thing with your money. I've heard the stories, folks.
Yeah.
I've heard the testimonies of Christians that have made these foolish decisions.
Yes.
And I'm just telling you, we need to realize the sufficiency of God's grace, making those right decisions, watching His power in our life. It's gotta be for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Well, the pattern to follow, we see, and I don't want to reiterate it, we've talked about it a little bit, but there's pleasure taken. The pleasure that's taken in the infirmities, in the reproaches. I hear so many people, they're afraid to knock on doors. Well, they're mean to me. They said rude things.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can reproach me all day long. I walk away going, I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, it had to have been 2009, maybe 2010. It was pre-RV. Amen. Early on, and we were up on Boston Common. There's a preacher up there, been there for decades and decades. And one week every year, he gets a permit because for 12 hours a day, they get voice amplification, big speakers. And for 12 hours a day, for 7 days straight, they preach the gospel and sing the gospel constantly for 12 hours straight every day in eye view of where Jonathan Edwards preached.
Amen.
They're still doing it. Amen.
Amen.
And I remember we were up there and we weren't preaching and the girls weren't singing. And so we were taking turns on Boston Common passing out tracts. And so we put the two oldest girls. I don't know, Hannah was probably 9 or 10 years old at that time. So Sarah would have been 7 or 8. And we put them over on this corner and they're about from here to that window over there. And I'm over here with one of the other, with Natalie and Christy had Leah on another corner. And, you know, we're keeping our eyes on. We're in a park and all. And we're just passing out gospel tracts, passing out gospel tracts. And after a while, we watch this lady. She's been sitting on a bench and she's been eyeing us. You know, folks will give you the booger eye. Yeah. What are you doing? And she is eyeing us. And then she started focusing in on the girls, watching them, watching them, watching them. And after about 20 minutes or so, 15 or 20 minutes, she gets up. She walks over and I'm watching. I'm like, she's approaching my girls. What's going on? She stands. She talks for a minute. And then she walks away. We let her get our shot. We ran over. What'd she say? What's that about? Hannah says, oh, she just asked us, don't we get discouraged when they say no to our literature? And I said, oh, okay. Well, what'd you say, sweetie? She said, I just told her, no, not at all. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
I'm proud of my daughter. Amen. Can I tell you, it's too bad us adults don't have that attitude.
All right.
Yeah, okay. They lied to you at the door. Yeah, 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 whatever. I'm having a baby that weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't care. Whatever. They ain't saying no to me. They're saying no to Jesus. I'll gladly take pleasure in reproaches. Now we got a bunch of brave men in our churches that, well, we don't like to go out doing public ministry. We don't like going out on the streets and the highways and... Show me a preacher in the Bible that didn't have a public ministry.
Yep.
Yeah, amen.
Right.
Amen. It's about getting out there and telling people, sharing the gospel. And there's 1,000 different ways of doing it. But I'm telling you right now, we look at reproaches nowadays, and we just chicken out and run away rather than taking pleasure in them.
Right.
We ought to be thankful for these things.
Amen.
Why? Because His grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
His grace is sufficient, and this is the pattern to follow. We should get excited about these things. We should rather than murmur and complain, we should be getting excited. Well, this brings me to these closing thoughts about in the pattern to follow. And you look here, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Can I tell you, those are all outside forces. Are they not all outside forces? Romans in chapter 9 asks the question, hath not the potter power over the clay? Jeremiah chapter 18, the prophet talks to the nation of Israel and likens the nation to clay and God to a potter. And he says, can't the potter make you what he wants to make you?
Right.
Now, I know this is really deep. Pardon my sarcasm. I know this is really hard, but you know, a potter never made a vessel without applying external pressure.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
They put that lump of clay on that wheel, and then they add some water. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? And they get that thing going around like life, like this world goes around, and as life goes around and that Holy Spirit's involved, and then all of a sudden the potter comes up, and the potter brings in some necessities. And the potter brings in some reproaches. And the potter brings in some infirmities.
Yep.
And you know what we do? Oh, church family, pray I get out from underneath these circumstances. Oh, stop, potter. Oh, I need to get away from, all this needs to stop. Oh, pray I'm delivered from all this. Well, how is he going to make you the vessel? He's trying to work on your life. And as the hand of the potter is putting that pressure of ill health or bad finances or lost loved ones or a broken heart or whatever it may be, and as that potter is applying that pressure, we're pushing against it and just begging him, stop, 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 rather than saying, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless,
amen.
Not my will be done,
amen.
But thine will. Can't the potter make us each the vessel he wants to make us?
Right.
Why don't we glory and say, oh, God's working in my life in this area. Hey, I get it. We may not run up like David and be dancing and jumping and leaping and going, yay, I'm sick now, yay. But we don't have to sit there going, oh, all the world's against us. It's just going to go down to the garden and eat worms and die now.
Yeah.
No. It's our loving, sovereign, heavenly Father.
Amen.
Saying, I got a gift for you. And this gift is going to help shape you into the vessel I want you to be. And that pressure won't be comfortable. You may not like that pressure. And for some of us, the pressure's applied longer than others.
Yep.
Hey, some of us, the vessel's easy. I know this, it's a lot easier to make certain vessels than it is others.
Yep.
I'm glad we're not all the same. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Aren't you glad you're not all Steve Perkinses? I should hear a lot of amens right there, right? No one wants to be like that. I'm just telling you, I'm just glad we're not all the same. I'm glad we're all different.
Right.
And God does this in our lives individually, and He makes those pressures for us, and He says, I want to form you a vessel. I want to make you a vessel, but by faith you have to accept this, and you have to accept these pressures, and you have to allow me to be the potter.
Amen.
The pattern that there is to follow is to yield to the potter's will. Yield to the potter's design. Why? Because this pattern to follow also teaches us when we do, we become a pleasing vessel, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. In a great house, there are vessels of wood and vessels of, I forget what else, and vessels of honor and vessels to dishonor. And God wants to make each and every one of us a vessel of honor.
Amen.
Whether we're a 10-year-old girl or an 80-year-old man,
right.
Whether we're a wife or a husband, whether we're a teenager, whether we're a boy or a girl, whether right. We're homeschooled or public schooled, wherever we are, if we're a plumber or we're a baker, He wants to make us vessels of honor.
Amen.
And it's His choice how He does that, because, see, we got an idea what a vessel of honor would look like.
Yeah.
Hmm. But that's not by faith.
Right.
That's not by faith. By faith is, I have no idea what that vessel is going to look like. I never dreamed I'd be standing in Madisonville, Kentucky, preaching to folks in Kentucky. They won't accept you. You're from the backwoods of Maine. You're in there so deep, the sun don't even shine. Amen? It's up there where many are cold and few are frozen. No one in the world wants to hear from you. And God says, go. And I just say, yes, sir. You make me the vessel you want to make me.
Amen.
You do with my life as you want to do. Travel around and help guys in tiny little churches that don't exist. How am I going to feed the kids? How am I going to pay for insurance? How am I going to do these things? God says, don't you worry about that. I got that all covered.
Amen.
And so I say, okay, then you just make me the vessel you want to make me.
Right.
Remember, as a few years ago, we're sitting in a home mission meetings, missions conference, Brother Randall Moody's. It was a tough year. And one of our family was going through a difficult time, and there were some tears being shed and some questions. And I don't know if you've ever been here in life. I've been there. And I've reached those questions. Is it worth it? What am I doing? Have I done anything? Has it amounted to anything? My heart goes out to homeschooling moms. So much of your life spent inside the four walls of your home. Now I know your kids are always grateful and thankful for everything you've ever done. Right, kids? Anyways, I better move on. And they were having a tough time, and they're sitting there wondering, kind of heartbroken, tears are going, what's this about? And all of a sudden, over the 3 days of that meeting, preacher after preacher got up and said, we just want to thank God for the Perkins family. They're such a help to us. Preacher after preacher got up. If it weren't for the Perkins family, we'd have quit. He's such a blessing. Their family is such a blessing. They've done so much to help us. And I'm like, I'm from the backwoods of Maine. I've helped guys in Colorado. I've helped guys in Washington, in California. We've worked all over the country working with these guys. I never dreamed it would do that. I never dreamed it would look like that. I couldn't have planned it.
Right.
But God says, I'll just make you what I want to make you. And I just said, yes, sir.
Amen.
And I just decided I'm going to let him do as he wants. Folks, it's about following that pattern of grace in our lives that God wants to be sufficient for us in all that we do.
Amen.
Can I tell you tonight, doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter who you are, you're following a pattern.
Yeah.
I know. We're individualists. I'm the maverick. No one's doing what I've done. Can I tell you? We're all following a pattern.
Yep.
Yeah. What pattern are you following?
Right.
Oh, no, brother. I'm not following a pattern. I promise you, you are.
Yep.
You look at it, you study it out, you'll find it. We're all following a pattern.
Yep.
And there is a pattern laid out in Scripture for us that Jesus Christ is our example.
Amen.
And He's given us men as living examples in Scripture to follow after, to see their lives, to see their failures, so you can avoid and you can not make the wrong decisions and you can make the right decisions. And He's given us clear commands through His Word and clear, crystal clear instructions on how to live in His grace and live day by day with that victory, with that success. And we choose moment by moment, not even day by day, but moment by moment, whether we're going to follow that scriptural pattern with our lives or not.
Right.
Something happens, driving down the road, someone pulls out. I know none of you guys do, but I get angry. Oh, what are you doing, bozo?
Yeah.
What pattern did I just follow?
Yeah.
Hmm? Huh? Yeah. I should have said it this morning, but I wasn't on this topic, but hey, you know, in the Bible, do you know Jesus came to church on Sunday night?
Yes.
Yeah. You know why we have church Sunday night? Because the church met on Sunday night.
Yes.
You know why we meet during the week? Because they met during, it's in the Bible.
Right.
You know why we sing when we come to church? Because they did it in the Bible.
Right.
You know why we read the Bible? They did it in the, everything we do, they did in Scripture.
Right.
So I challenge them, you know, people want to say, oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you'd go where He goes.
Right.
And He goes to church Sunday nights.
Yeah.
I'm a disciple of Jesus, but I don't go where He goes. Amen.
Amen.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a pattern. It's there for us.
Right.
In the morning, will you open your Bible and read it or not?
Right.
Will you spend time in prayer or not?
Right.
You're following a pattern either way.
Amen.
The right pattern or the wrong pattern.
Yep.
Apostle Paul lays it out. We can accept God's grace and His sufficiency to follow that pattern, to live humbly before our God, and to live that surrendered life in humility, and watch what God does and see how He exalts us as individuals, as families, and as a church over time as we humbly walk with Him and follow the pattern. Or we can rely not on His grace, but on self.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I look at America, and all the reliance on self hasn't helped us much at all.
Right.
It's time we just stop and back up and say, I'm done with self.
Yep.
I'm done with following self.
Yep.
No more. No more. It's time for me to pick up my cross, get on the altar, and lay my life down and say, not my will, but thine be done.
In
how I talk to my kids, how I talk to my spouse, how I talk about my spouse, how I work at my job, how I talk to my neighbors, how I treat people around me. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I'm telling you right now, this world has seen so much bitterness and anger and hatred.
Yep.
We need to stop.
Amen.
With any of that junk.
Yes.
And we need to show them the love of Christ, the compassion that He has, and the joy that comes in serving our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ, as we live in the sufficiency of His grace. Well, I know it's difficult to glory in infirmities, and I know it's difficult to take pleasure in those reproaches and those necessities, but by His grace we can do it. I know tonight there's needs in this room that are not mentioned. I know there's needs in this room that maybe no one else knows about but you. Can I tell you tonight? Surrender to God.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient to take you through whatever battle it is, whatever the issue is, whatever the war, the struggle is. His grace is absolutely, listen, if His grace is enough to save our souls, and His grace is enough to take us to heaven, and His grace is enough to give us eternal life, His grace is enough to help us with our health in this life, with our relationships in this life, with our own hard hearts in this life, with every aspect of this life. His grace is sufficient. Will you trust in His grace tonight? Let's stand together, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, tonight we thank You for the sufficiency of Your grace. God, we thank You that because of You and Your love, because we know without question Your love for us is immovable and immeasurable, we know that we can trust in You and rely on Your grace for every aspect of life. And we know that these difficulties we're facing are not too much for You. They did not catch You off guard. But God, they're to help us, help make us a vessel of honor. God, I pray each and every one of us here tonight would surrender to be the clay, that we might become the vessel You'd have us. God, help us stop pushing against the pressure, pushing against the infirmities, and glory in them, and get excited about the vessel that You want to make out of our lives. Father, I pray You'd work in hearts as only You can. In Jesus' precious name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, some are praying at the altar now. Some are praying at their seats. I ask you tonight, friend, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and God is working on your heart, you say, how do I know God's working on my heart? Well, are you thinking about it? Is the subject in your mind? Is it in your heart? Is it at that threshold where you're thinking of a decision? That is your conscience. That's God working in your heart. Your heart is your decision maker. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I get it. It may look different for different people in different circumstances. But when the truth comes to my mind, And I am confident in my heart, and I come to that place where, do I make a decision? He's wanting you to make a decision. Make a choice. Make the decision to trust Him as your Savior, to live for Him with your lives, to glory in His grace, to realize that His grace is sufficient no matter what's going on in life. There's too many of us relying on self. Can I tell you, young people, learn today to trust in His grace. The older you get, the harder it is. You get more confident in self. You get more confident in your abilities. And the struggle increases as you age. I always thought it'd get easier as I got older. Those that have aged in here will freely admit it doesn't get easier as you get older. Learn to surrender today. Learn to trust in His grace and live by grace today. Friend, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, trust Him today before it's too late. Many are praying, still praying at their seats. Have an attitude and a heart of prayer. Pray for those that are struggling. Pray for those that are lost. Pray for those that are seeking to die to self. What our nation needs, what our churches need, are individuals that are willing and ready day by day to die to self and live to Him. This is what will make strong churches, strong families. It'll make parents love their children more, love each other more. It'll make children love their parents more. Die to self, live to Him. Friend, as these pray, if God's spoken to your heart, please don't delay. Please don't put it off. The information's been delivered, as I mentioned this morning. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have a responsibility to make a decision that is pleasing to God with the information, with the truth that has been delivered to us. And will I make decisions that are pleasing to God or pleasing to self? May I tell you, self is most comfortable with no decision at all, and that's a decision. That is a decision to say no to God and yes to self. I'll leave you with this thought this evening. There's a litmus test in our Bible. There's a litmus test of whether or not there's any fear of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe it's 89, I could be wrong, but in the book of Psalms, it makes this statement, the psalmist David makes this statement, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. When's the last time the Word of God changed you? When's the last time you allowed God to change you? I believe we'd like to have the fear of God. We want the fear of God. We'd say we have the fear of God, but He's the potter, I'm the clay. Where's the change? I hope the vessel's not already been set. And I hope we've not rejected the potter's hands to the point that the vessel can't be made what he wants it to make. Maybe he'll have to start all over again. But either way, it's worth it.
Amen.
Let the Master work on our lives. Preacher, thank you.